Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message from Pastor Gary Armley inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
Well, Pastor Jay, a while back, we do have slides. Yep. Just the first one, just put it up so they can see where I'm going. Okay. So Pastor Jay started talking a while back. Seems like yesterday, but it's not, on overload. And if you were like me, you probably saw yourself in the whole aspect of overload, that it was part of your life, unless you're retired and like Bruce and Jeannie and get to relax and do life, and there's a season we get to that place. But for many of us in here, we could identify, right? Where our lives are just too full. And if anything else were to come along, it would just push us over the top. And I can identify with that because I've been living it. And sometimes when one more thing comes along, it's like, huh, if I can do this. And then I sit down with the Lord and push through, and God steps in. Overload. Just to refresh you, is when your life is full and your soul has no room. It is when you find yourself in a place where just one more thing will push you over the top. Overload happens when what we carry exceeds our capacity for too long. The hurry culture we're in, it just keeps pushing us. But I believe we're in a season where God is really starting to deal with this in the church. He wants to bring us back to the natural rhythm of life. He wants us to bring into a rest we were created for. From his teaching, we learned how important it is, and Karen also talked about boundaries and how important it is to put boundaries in place. And we are, you know, if we're going to find rest, we have to put boundaries in place, and especially with media. I've been walking with the Lord for a long time, and I've been a pastor for a long time. And even I have to fight this whole thing with the media. You know, my phone goes off first thing in the morning, and it's Africa. And I can convince myself, yeah, I need to respond right away. And I do. And then my motor gets going, right? In a direction I don't want it to go in. So it's like, no, I don't pick up the phone until I sit with the Lord. And I'm having to be very, very focused and determined. And even if I'm looking up my scriptures or my devotional readings on an iPad, it is so easy to rabbit trail and you're gone. And so it's challenging, but the Lord's challenging me on it. So we need to make some major changes. The Holy Spirit longs to bring things into alignment for us. He really does. And you know what? I've been praying, Lord, my knee being out so badly, it's out of alignment. Is there a spiritual implication to this? Am I carrying the body of Christ? Am I out of alignment? Like, what's the deal here? And so I'm really pressing in to ask, God, what is this? We have strongholds in our lives, and I'm still just going over what Pastor Jay taught, because there was so much in there that was crucial for us. We have to change our mindset, and our mindset has strongholds in them. Things that have developed over years, thoughts that we have accepted as ours over years. You know, if as a little kid we're told constantly you're stupid, you grew up to think you're stupid. You might have the highest IQ going, you know, but you think of yourself as stupid. I remember, you know, he's not here anyway, but our oldest son, Sean, that's how he thought of himself. because he was hyperactive and he had attention deficit disorder. And the teachers really didn't know what to do with him. And so he got punished a lot. To the point where he was in grade six, he almost had a nervous breakdown because of the pressure that was put on him. Come to find out later on in life, he's got the highest IQ of all the kids. And, you know, he stepped away from school for a while because he didn't want anything to do with it. There was too much pain. And lo and behold, when he has five children, he decides to go back to school to become a paramedic. And, I mean, he got a 4.0 average. I mean, he's brilliant. But it was reinforced. He was bad. He didn't listen. You know, he was stupid. It took the Lord to heal him and get that out. And so it's important. I mean, I'm watching him prosper incredibly in the Lord. He's running hard after the Lord. And so change our mindsets. Let the Holy Spirit root out the things that the enemy's lied to us about. So Romans 12:2, stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in his eyes. So it's an inward transformation that has to happen. When the Lord called me to ministry as a pastor, I was raising a family. And I was busy, but my mind was not distracted with media and all that. And we didn't have technology yet. And there wasn't the clutter. And it's not just all technology, but it is a huge part of what we're battling. It's a reality we have to face. It's wonderful. It's wonderful to be able to call somebody, text somebody. It's great. But if it interrupts our time with the Lord, and we can't find time for the Lord, but we have all that time on media, we're out of balance. And we have to realize that. We just need a major shift. We really do. When the Lord called me into ministry, none of that was there, and I had the awesome privilege of spending hours with the Lord. I really did. And now I'm in a season again where life is slowing down. And right now, it very much is slowing down. And so I sit a lot. And I said, God, I want to be restored to what I had in the beginning was just, it was glorious. And I just want more than I've ever had before. Pastor Jay spoke about putting the Sabbath in place, that our bodies need rest. And that is crucial. But I'm going to talk about a different kind of rest this morning, but that is crucial for all of us. And I hope you participate in it. Don't just say, oh, no. Put it in place because it's very, very important. Jack and I have always, always had Sabbath. All the years we've been married. It's the day we have our kids over or we just rest, read. We've never worked outside in the yard, done any of that stuff. We just took it as a day of rest. And when he was under a lot of pressure as a principal, that day was very, very important to reboot and for what was up next. And so it's important. Pastor Jay quoted an author, John Mark Comer, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. It might be a book we want to read. And he makes, I had copied these two statements down. Sabbath is an act of resistance against the tyranny of urgent things. Isn't that neat? Just by taking time to be with your family, to read the word, it's resistance against the tyranny of urgent things. Sabbath rest is a way to break our addictions to the twin gods in the West, accomplishment and accumulation. Jack and I have reached the stage in life, and I want to share this because I think we all need to think about this. And again, when I say this, there's nothing wrong with upgrading your home or anything like that, but just hear what I'm saying in all of this. When you reach that stage in life where Jack and I are, you watch your friends go to retirement homes or nursing homes or even the other, the grave. We're experiencing that with a friend across the street and a family member. And everything they have amassed, lots of stuff, everything they've amassed, especially with the one family member, we're trying to figure out how to get rid of it all. Because the house has to go up for sale. So everything that all the time went into, is it going to go either to Goodwill, because the family member is a U.S. citizen, so it's not going to go through the border. It's going to go in a garbage. I thought, what? It's happened before, but I thought, Lord, what a waste when we spend all our energy working to get all this stuff. When we should be focusing on, God, where do you want me to go today? Lord, do you want me to be with my kids today? Lord, I need to pray for my son, my daughter. Like when you talk about focus being off, when you see that, it's a rude awakening when you watch. You know, I watch neighbor across the street is happening too. And they ask, can we put some of our garbage with your garbage? Because they'll only pick up so many bags. And they went down the road to all the neighbors to see where they could leave the man's belongings. I thought, God, what's wrong with us in North America? Help us to get things in right order. I don't know. Maybe it's just me that he's speaking to, but it's just really sad, really sad. But I want to talk to you about another level, and it's called rest. And it's partially the Sabbath rest, but it's more than that. Rest is a peaceful, the first definition, good. Rest is the peaceful confidence that comes from trusting God's character, relying on his finished work, and surrendering our lives to the Holy Spirit. That's rest. And I just want to go into the different things that bring rest into our lives. So let's look at Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In the Message Bible, it's a beautiful translation. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Wow. Wouldn't you like to live freely and lightly again without the weight of so much? So I had Pastor Jay look up a yoke for me. A yoke is what is put on two animals, draught animals, used of any burden or bondage as that of slavery, of the troublesome laws imposed on one. So a yoke can be put on animals, especially years ago when they would use the plows to plow their fields. But here, this definition is also talking about the yoke of the Mosaic Law that was put on the people and what it did to them. They were like animals under this heavy weight. Therefore, the name is so transferred to the commands of Christ as to contrast them with the commands of the Pharisees, which were a veritable yoke. Okay? So, two animals would fit in that yoke, and usually one was a stronger one to lead a weaker one. Or they might both be strong, depending on the job. But what Jesus says here makes it very, very real. Every rabbi carried a yoke of teaching. The expression, take my yoke, was rabbinical figure of speech, meaning to unroll under a teacher. So they had their followers, and they carried a yoke of teaching, and the followers would learn that yoke from that rabbi. To take Jesus' yoke was to become a disciple. But Jesus assures those who would learn and follow him that his disciples, his disciplines would be easy and his requirements attainable. He would not be a harsh taskmaster. After all, he was lowly and gentle of heart. Imagery here is of you and I being on one side of the yoke and Jesus on the other side of the yoke. And yesterday morning, Pastor Jeff was at Leamington Christian Center, and he just, in the middle of his teaching, I think it was yesterday morning, said, we all have a yoke, and our name's on that yoke. And we're attached to Jesus with that yoke. And so, but his yoke is easy. His burden is light. And so we see Jesus as the life giver. What did Jesus do with the yoke he carried? Because he was yoked to his Father by the Holy Spirit. He healed the sick. He ministered to the people. He ministered to the most unbroken, hurting, unlike people in society. They all like to be around him. So the disciples are learning what Jesus' yoke looks like. And it's a whole lot different than what the Pharisees' yoke looks like. It's kind of like in here, you know, years ago, all the ministry took place at the front. And now we encourage you to go around one another, right? And minister to one another. It's a wonderful change. And it's teaching us to live freely in the Spirit. And it's a good thing. So what's the yoke that Jesus is offering you and I? Jesus actually provided the answer to the question when someone in a crowd asked him, what must we do to be doing the works of God? John 6:28. Jesus responded, this is the work of God, that you believe in him and who he has sent. So basically, it's very simple. The work we do is to believe in God and believe Jesus who has been sent. To his disciples on the night that he was betrayed, Jesus said, abide in me, John 15:4. Without me, you can do nothing. You can't do a thing without me. Abide in me. This is the foundation of what Jesus required of those who would find rest in him. Abide in me. Live in me. And that requires total surrender. It's not an easy word in our society to surrender our lives to the Lord. And we think we do when we, you know, pray the prayer of salvation. Lord, I give my life to you, and I love you, and I want to serve you. And we mean it. I know we do. I did too. But then we kind of get busy with life again. But I think of all of us here, Claude has described what it was like for him, where he just naturally just said, Lord, I give you my family. I give you my finances. I give you my business. I give you everything. I surrender. And I had to learn to surrender. And we all have to learn to surrender. In order to be able to go on with the Lord, we have to go on into the depths that he has available for us. We need to surrender to him. And it might mean making some changes. We were created, I'm going to cut some of this out because it's too long, but we were created on the sixth day. And on the seventh day, Jesus rested, or the Father rested. And we were created in the image of God, image and likeness of God, right? Okay. So aren't we, if we're created in this image and likeness, are we not to be just like him? Do you think Jesus was ever anxious, undone, worried, stressed to the max? I can't take any more. Don't bring any more people to me to pray today. I've had it. I've got a rest. Somehow it doesn't fit, does it? He didn't walk in that. And Adam and Eve in the beginning walked in absolute peace and rest with Father, and they met daily in the garden to commune with him. What an incredible visionary for us. They commune with him daily in the garden. He walked and talked with them. They shared their day with him, what they had done. If they had questions, they could talk to him. It's like, wow. But you know what? So can we. So can we. But we have to rest. Our minds have to slow down. We have to be able to hear the Holy Spirit. When the fall came, the enemy took over, and it says the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's what he's sown into our lives. And many Christians are struggling with anxiety and fear. And that was addressed a little bit yesterday, too. It was surprising to hear some of the things that he said, because they're things that we're all saying. There's chaos everywhere. Everywhere, massive chaos. And yet God is calling us to rest in peace. And the body of Christ needs to have a different focus, and that's the focus of the kingdom of heaven, not the kingdom of this world. And I thought, oh Lord, fear is the atmosphere of hell, but faith is the atmosphere of heaven. Our kingdom is not of this earth, but of heaven. And so our journey began in the garden in unity, and is to continue in unity with him. Psalm 37:7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. I looked up the word patiently. It's pain in childbirth for our pregnant mama. That's actually the word patiently. It's pain in childbirth. Or whirling in the ear in a dance. Both require incredible focus and strength. When you're delivering a baby, you got to stay focused. And most of us in the middle of it all usually say, I want to quit. I've had enough. And someone will say, stay focused. Look at me. Stay focused. This will soon be over. We get an example of that with Jacob as he wrestled with the angel. He wouldn't let go. He stayed focused until he got his blessing. And the other example is Elijah. Elisha wanted Elijah's mantle. And everybody tried to dissuade him, and he just stayed with him. He wouldn't leave him. He just stayed with him. Wherever he went with them. And he kept saying, go home, go home. He just stayed focused because he knew if he saw Elijah taken up in the chariot, the mantle would be his. And he stayed focused. And guess what? It was a success. He got the double portion. It's going to take persistence to stay focused and build a new neural pathways in our brain. It takes time. If we've had negative thinking, grumbling about everything, if we've been constantly discussing the government, and God says, stop it now, we've got to rebuild those pathways. Because it's just so easy to just get into that conversation, right? And so we have to rebuild those pathways in our brain. And it's going to take discipline, it's going to take patience, it's going to take focus. So there's a place of rest for us, and it can only be found by waiting on Him. So rest. Are you able to rest in the fact that Jesus has paid the price in full for your life? That He's paid the price in full for every sin you ever committed, will commit? Can you rest in that? Just the fact that you know that you're perfectly loved, can you rest in that? Do you know in your heart that He is not angry with you? Can you rest in that? He paid the price in full on the cross. In full. The beatings that He took, the scourgings, the crown of thorns, the mocking, the stripping, being hung on a cross naked for us. Us. Our salvation is so great and so incredible, and it contains everything we need. Does that bring rest to your soul? Because it should. Because if you were to die tomorrow, you would be with Him, which is incredible, isn't it? I mean, if one of us stepped out and we were gone, we'd be with Him. Right? I still remember the day we had a prayer line and Ron Turner had come in the morning and he had said, I'm going to be with Jesus today. I was pastoring then and we had a guest speaker in who was a faith healer. And he and I are going down the prayer line praying for people and Ron Turner falls out in the spirit, but he did more than that. He died. Right on the prayer line. And he had said in the morning, I'm going to be with Jesus tonight. I don't know why I'm telling this story, but anyway. And I bent down and I spoke to him and I says, Ron, come back. And he did. And I looked at him and the Holy Spirit said, let him go. He wants to come to me. And I said, Ron, you want to go? And there was just a little bit of a nod. I said, go. And he went. And he was gone. And the paramedics worked on him. I thought, don't waste your time. He's not coming back. But that poor faith healer who was staying at my house, I went to the hospital with Alan. When I came home, he was waiting for me. He needed to talk. It was quite an experience, to say the least, when that happened. I thought, Lord, people are supposed to be raised from the dead in this house, not fall dead. Well, that's it. But Ron had been with the Lord. He lived out of rest. He had been experiencing heaven partially already because he came and shared with me what he was experiencing. His twin brother had died. He said, I just want to go. I just want to go. And, oh, my goodness, in my service? Anyway, we have an incredible salvation, and Ron knew where he was going. He knew he was going to Jesus. Be still and know that I am God. Rest means having confidence that God is in control, even when circumstances seem uncertain. His invitation in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The people, you know, we look at where we're living right now and the government situation in different countries, and it's terrible. But if you could go back and step into Jesus' day, you would be in a horrible situation. Horrible. Rome was horrible to the Jewish people. Horrible. And any given day, you'd walk past the road and there would be people crucified, hanging there dying. So we think it's bad right now. And Jesus is saying, learn of me. Learn my rest, right? Learn to rest in me. So he's walking with these disciples, teaching them this, because he knows it's through them that it has to be passed on. Bondage is terrible, and Jesus wants us free. We have received incredible grace for every situation in our life, and we always need to turn to the Lord with the grace, for the grace that we need. Rest is a gift to be received, not a reward to be earned. We're called to surrender our burdens. Specifically, Jesus calls us weary, so that means we're carrying a lot of burdens, so we need to lay them down. The Israelites did not enter their promised land and find rest because of unbelief. That's what kept them out, and I've studied that scripture a lot. They went in, they scouted out the land. Most of you would know the story, and they came back, and they were supposed to come back with a good report. You know, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. The grapes are so big. It's, you know, everything is wonderful about it. Instead, they talked about the giants being so big, and fear had come into them. The only ones that didn't come into was Caleb and Joshua. They confessed what they saw. They had the faith, and with their faith, they eventually entered that promised land. Negativity will keep us out of rest. Our words are powerful, and they shape our future and bring our promises either closer to us or further away from us. Spiritual rest comes when we trust God's promises rather than our own abilities. He says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Do we believe that in the middle of a very difficult situation? Do we believe that when we've lost someone very dear to us? Do we believe that when we're unemployed and the bank account's empty? He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. Do we believe him that he says, I'm the God who supplies all your needs according to his riches and glory? Do we believe something like Psalm 37:25? I was young and now I'm old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. Do we believe that? Because he's faithful to his promises. And they didn't enter their rest. And Hebrews talks about a rest that we can come into where we totally rest in the Lord. And you were talking about that young lady. You know, she obviously was trusting the Lord, and God provided. It takes getting closer to the Lord and sitting with him and coming into that rest and that intimate relationship with him that brings us to that place where we can trust him. It's not an activity, rest. But it is trusting him, completely trusting him. We're to practice the unforced rhythms of grace, and we need to learn to live freely, and that's why Pastor Jay's putting the whole aspect of the Sabbath rest in place, so we can live freely. We need to be able to trust. We need to be able to have faith to believe for what he says he will do. the promises that are in his word that we can stand on and declare, the prophetic words that we have received in the past that we can believe for, that he will fulfill. And, you know, the prophetic's been under horrific attack in the last few years. But I want to tell you something. The prophetic words I received from the beginning of my ministry were guidelines to what we're sitting in today. I am so grateful that God saw fit to use men and women to bring me words that would line me up. I would meet with the board and the elders, and we would pray through those prophetic words. And God would show us exactly what to do. And when we were outgrowing Woodsley, and the man of God said to me, "Gary, the Lord has another place for you. It's there already. And the check's been written in heaven for it. It's yours." And you go, okay. And we had been looking. But this was sitting here, and God knew it was here, and he identified it in the spirit. It's already there. You don't have to build from scratch. Prophetic words that spoke life, prophetic words that warned us when evil was on our doorstep, prophetic words that led us to buy the Lazarus Outreach Center downtown because we were bringing so many babies into the kingdom that we needed a place to nurture them. Prophetic word after prophetic word after prophetic word led us. And I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for how the Holy Spirit did it. I'm so grateful that when I was a young pastor, I had the opportunity to spend time with the Lord a lot. And when things began to move forward and things started to accelerate with the ministry, I remember sitting with the Lord and saying, "God, I can't do this." Not because I'm a woman, because I became a fighter for women to be in ministry. But just the overwhelmingness of it. And my prayer in the mornings became, "Daddy, I can't do it, but I'll take your hand and you can do it." And so that was my prayer. When we began to move to purchase this, I mean, we're talking millions now. "Daddy, I can't do this, but I'll take your hand and I know you can." And I remember Pastor Jeff calling me one night, one evening, and he said, "Gary, are you sleeping with all that was going on?" He said, "Are you getting your rest? Are you sleeping?" I said, "I'm sleeping like a baby, sleeping better then than I am now." But I had found the rest of the Lord. And you need to find the rest of the Lord. It comes out of an intimate relationship with him. It comes out of spending time with him. It comes by reading the word. It comes by crying out, "Holy Spirit, fill me more." You've heard it preached in here. But I'm telling you, in this season that we're living in, and with all the turmoil that's swirling around us, and you know, this country's at war, and this country's at war, and this leader's saying this, and all the leaders in Europe are in an uproar, and will our kids be able to have homes even, and what's the financial situation going to do? Stock market going up, or is it going to crash? Are we going to lose everything? That's what's swirling around us. And the Holy Spirit says to us, "Take my yoke on you. My yoke's easy, my burden's light. Learn to rest in me. Focus on me. Focus on my kingdom." We are not part of this earthly kingdom, even though we live here. Our place here is to find that rest and peace in the Lord and share it with those that are in absolute turmoil. How can we give peace and rest away if we don't have it. You can't. So God's saying to us very clearly, you need to find rest. And having this one day Sabbath is just the start. On that day, if you've never done it, give the Lord more than 10 minutes. Give him more than 15 minutes. Find a quiet place somewhere in your yard. Sit with a chair and start to talk to him about your situation, about your struggles. Talk to him and share with him how you're frustrated at your job. Talk to him and share with him how you have problems in your family with your children. Lay your burdens down and then ask the Holy Spirit to fill you, to fill what you've given to him. Find rest. Yes, it's fun to have some activities with family, and that's important, but I'm telling you, you need to find his rest. And once we have his rest, and we can walk in that rest, it won't matter what's happening because we can always go back to that place of rest. It's my hiding place. You know, when things aren't always easy, that's where I go. And if I couldn't go there, you'd see a different lady sitting here today. If I couldn't run there, I've been running there for 9 years already to be able to do what I'm doing. And I don't want to give up ministry. I don't want to give up Titian Ministries because I know God placed it in my life. I could never have done that if I didn't have the Lord and if I didn't know the rest of the Lord and if I didn't know that he provides. I couldn't have done what I've done. As I watch building after building after building being repaired at that school, we'll have some pictures for you. It's amazing what's getting done. If I didn't have him and I know how to run to him, and I know I have many people supporting and helping, but finances do have to be prayed in, and I refuse to do fundraisers. I said, God, if you can't do it, I can't do it, so we do this together. Anyway, I need to close. Okay. The final one, I had 10 points. I don't know if I hit them all, but anyway. The final was, we need to practice gratitude. Very much so. And I have to bless my sweet husband because he is such a grateful man. And sometimes I'll come home and I've seen a hike in price and something and I'll grumble just like the rest of you, which I have to stop doing. And I'll say to Jack, you know what? And he just looks at me. He says, Gary, just be thankful we have money. And we need to pray for the people that don't. I'm so grateful for Jack. He is so grateful, so thankful. And bless him. We are, and then we do. From this place, we act out of love and not performance. We do because we are loved, not to be loved. We do because we are accepted, not to be accepted. And sometimes we have difficult situations and we wonder why we're in them. This is one of my favorite scriptures, 2 Corinthians 4:17 and 18. We view our slight, short-lived troubles in the light of eternity. We see our difficulties as the substance that produces for us an eternal weight, weighty glory, far beyond all comparison, because we don't focus on our attention on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but the unseen realm is eternal. Coming to Jesus for his rest doesn't shield us from difficulties and afflictions, but it transforms them to be light and momentary. And that is to focus on for me and probably many in here. Because we do have struggles. We do have infirmity. We do have afflictions. But they're to build an incredible weight of glory in us. His presence on us. His glory in us. We carry the glory, but we have the capacity. We all carry the glory if we know Jesus. But we have the capacity to carry a lot more glory. A lot more glory. So that it spills out like Peter's shadow did and people get healed. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray for all of us that we would find that place in you that isn't just another message, but Lord, that we would find rest in you. Lord, that incredible hiding place. Psalm 91, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God will abide in the shelter of the Almighty. So be blessed, have an amazing week, and enjoy your Sunday. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.